there were many things that God spoke to you, but I came with the fulfillment of your prophecy in my hands. Whether the devil likes it or not, whether the demons from your father's house like it or not, whatever God has designed for you, you are about to walk in it.
Day the psalmist said, it was not God who was on our side. Now may Israel say, if it was not God who was on our side, when man rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, the psalmist said, it was not God who was on our side. Now may Israel say, if it was not God who was on our side, when man rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters will have overwhelmed us. The proud waters will have gone over our souls. But David said, blessed be the name of God who did not give our soul like a prey to their teeth. But your soul has escaped from the snare of the fowler. If you never begged to be alive today, nor did you pay to live tonight, you want to lift your hands and thank God for 120 seconds. Thank Him for how far He has brought you. With your hands lifted, lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your voice and talk to Him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy. He's worthy. The songwriter said,
"What is the love? What is the love? For you are whole." Holy,
lift your hands.
Are you Lord God Almighty?
Everywhere in the house,
worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy.
Holy,
holy,
are you Lord God?
Are you Lord God?
Oh, my,
oh, my,
worthy,
worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy,
worthy is the Lamb.
Oh, you. Thank you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Lift your hands. We exalt you, O Lord. We exalt. We sublimate. We magnify. We macrograph your holy name. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. For you have set your glory above the heavens. And out of the mouth of babes and suckling have you ordained strength. Because of the avenger that you will steal our enemies. When I consider the work of your hands, the heavens, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that you visit, for you have crowned man with glory and honor, clarity of thought, precision of speech, that I will embellish, articulate, and enunciate your word in a profound and prolific way. Use me as an oracle to speak forth your mind only, in Jesus' mighty name. And let every saint shout the loudest, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Whilst you are standing, God said to Isaac in Genesis 26, verse 24, he said, "I'm going to bless you, Isaac. I'm going to bless you so well, and your seed, because of your father Abraham." Which means there are certain quantum quantities of qualitative blessings you can be an apostolic and prophetic connected to by virtue of your connectivity to a father. Fathers are feathers that makes us to fly further. And Rock Hill, God has blessed you with a genius of a man. A man that God has used worldwide, globally, to redefine what music is all about. Preaching, teaching, prophecy, miracles. I mean, what else could you ask for? In a standing ovation, let's honor Reverend Dr. Sonny Bado. Your father, my brother. Put your hands together, let's salute him. Thank you, sir. Amen. And of course, to the exotic, the exquisite, the magnanimous, the splendiferous first lady. Awesome. Awesome woman of God, Dr. Annie. Put your hands together, let's honor the first lady. Very calm, humble, peaceful. Amen. To the resident pastor, to entirety of the clergy, the board of the presbytery, I see a very high level of excellence in this house. To the media team, to the instrumentation, to the protocol, to the ushering. Oh my God, I'm bamboozled and I'm blown away. Praise the living God. Of course, to all of you, you are so awesome, so beautiful. I like the serenity of the house. Clap your hands for yourselves. Praise the Lord. I'm being accompanied by Dr. Nathan Culver, an amazing man of God. Let's put our hands together for Dr. Nathan, my friend, pastoring a thriving church. Praise the Lord. Amen. So Dr. Beatty said, prophet, preach, just preach. Amen. So I'm just going to do that. If you love the word of God and you stand for kings, let us stand for the reading of God's infallible, unadulterated, unchanging, unchangeable word. If you have your Bibles, quickly go to the book of Saint John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Theologically, from a philosophical premise, you see that John, the beloved disciple, an apostle, and a brother of Jesus, just a little bit base in my monitor and I'll be good, is the author of this particular masterpiece in the manuscript. Thematically, John exeges and espouses Jesus Christ as God, as Jehovah's Messiah and Son. And we see in the book of John, his deity is most at times asserted. John, the 5th chapter, I would like to issue a warrant tonight for your intelligent arrest and summon you to the verse number 1. Praise the Lord. If you are there, shout yes. After this, we can read in concert, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Tonight, with all the ebullience and the tenacity in your voice, you want to look at someone you love so much in church and prophesy things will get better. You are not here. Move from your seat and go to 3 neighbor of yours and holler. Things will get better. Praise the Lord. Father, speak to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated in heavenly places. With all protocol observed, theologically we are introduced to a pool called Bethesda, which is, according to biblical historicity, is by the Sheep Gate. It's a historical incident. Teacher, preacher, I normally take my listeners into a didactic teaching narrative, then I will exegete the concept, then we'll preach and pray. The Sheep Gate was the gate through which the lamb was brought for sacrifice. And that gave you access to the temple during the feast. Historically, you will envisage that Bethesda was a double pool surrounded by colonnades. That means that the galleries on four sides, with a fifth standing on the dividing wall, separating the north and the south pools. These five porches that were in the colonnades were on the two sides, with two on each end and one in the middle. Stay with me, I'm taking you somewhere. Philosophically, in theology, anytime you look at the word Bethesda, it is translated scholarly to mean the house of mercy. Number two, it also lexically and literally known to be the house of grace, or simplistically, the house of outpouring water. So get the picture. They are at the house of mercy, but everybody is in the mess. They are the house of mercy, but nobody looks like they have had any mercy. It sounds familiar, right? Because here we are in the house of God. Here we are in the house of mercy and grace. And all of us idiosyncratically have an exclusiveness of some kind of mess we are dealing with. Our messes may not be the same, but everybody in here has got a mess in some kind of a way. Do I have a witness here tonight? Distinguished ladies and gentlemen, also not only does the place sound familiar, but the practice? Because the text says they are all gathered with some mystical understanding that an angel troubled the water. And when the water got troubled, whoever got first to the troubled water would get healed. So they came to the house of mercy looking for a trick to make them feel better. And this typifies our generation. We want a quick trick, but not a process of the blessing. A lot of Christians today, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, are looking for a microwave anointing. A quick trick to make them feel better. How sad it is that people every now and then will use God and the church as a trick to get what they want on a silver platter. Stay with me, I'm taking you somewhere. So in reality, they weren't there looking for mercy. They were there looking for manipulation. If I can get the trick to work for me, then my life is going to work better. And if I can just read the right scripture, read the right book, get to the right church, have the right pastor, throw some seed on the altar, then all of a sudden my problems are going to disappear. It said whoever got there first. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, they were not only there for a trick, but they had a spirit of competition. How often in the church do we fight to be first? Slap your neighbor and prophesy, things are going to get better. So, ladies and gentlemen, it was at this place where Jesus comes upon the scene of complexities and multiplicities of issues, plethora of people who are under the suspicious notion that when the water gets stirred, whoever got there first was going to get the miracle. Notice what Jesus does. He walks into this crowded place. He walked past people who are crippled. He walked over people who are blind. Jesus ignores those who are lame just to get to one person. You are not here tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, you might be that person tonight. Or all of the other persons at the pool got issues just like the one person. But Jesus ignores this and skip over everybody else that got an issue. But this one man. My question tonight, Rock Hill, is why him? I mean, I don't see anything special about this man. That he had a certain level of faith. That he called out Jesus being the Son of God or Son of Abraham or Son of David. He's sitting there just like any other person. He's sitting there like everyone else waiting on the water, hoping to be first. Why this brother? That drums home my thematic disposition tonight. The test says, and the test didn't give us any hint. It didn't give us any clue as to why. But if I can add my own spiritual superstition to this inquiry, you will discover that the brother has been in this condition for 38 years. Historically, among the Romans, you will discover that scholars tell us that 38 years was longer than the average life expectancy for any male in the first century Roman Empire. So that means the brother has been sick literally for a lifetime. Are you here tonight? And the text says, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus knew of the brother's long history and knew of his struggle with the condition. And tonight, I believe Jesus picked this man for the same reason he's going to pick you here tonight. The one with the loudest amen is the one to take the blessing. I believe that Jesus was impressed by this man, how he had handled the crisis and practiced endurance. You didn't hear what I said. So 38 years and he's still showing up. Oh my goodness, you are not here tonight. I know he's showing up on basis of a myth. I know he's showing up per superstition, but if they believe it that it could get you out of that condition and you are not quitting from showing up, that means he kept on showing up no matter the superstition he believed in. And God sent me all the way from Ghana to announce unto somebody that this is the time for you to look straight into the devil's eyes and tell the devil that nothing will make me back down from serving my God. in spite of 38 years of pain. Please be seated. I'm laying my case. In spite of 38 years of hell, Dr. Bedu, he hasn't given up on getting better. He hasn't given up on getting better. His answer to Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, shows that his confidence is low. But at least he's still showing up. How many of us will cower and fall astray by virtue of the antithetical contradictions that comes into our lives? How many people have stopped serving God because of crisis? How many people have stopped worshiping the name of Jesus by virtue of the long term of their problem? How many of us have retrieved our hands from God by virtue of the problems that we have faced? He's still showing up. He hadn't quit. He hadn't stopped living. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when you stop living, you start dying. He kept on showing up. The reason many believers fall and fail during their times of crisis and desperation is because they are not willing to push through. Am I making sense here tonight? They're not willing to and to endure whatever it takes to believe that their condition doesn't have the last word on their lives. And they give up and they resign themselves to a less standard existence. They see no hope. They see no future. And all they see is doom and gloom. They allow their circumstance to have the last word. 38 years of misery, and he's still believing that his condition doesn't have the last word. I believe that Jesus showed up and blessed this brother because Jesus said, if after 38 years you still believe you can get better than you are right now, then I'm gonna honor that blessing over your life. Slap your neighbor and shout, things will get better. I'll be preaching here in a second. You had a rough 8 months. It's been hell all every side. But Jesus said, I'm coming for you. Through all the hell and high waters you have been through, I'm coming for you. I don't know whom I'm talking to, but I came all the way from Accra, Ghana to speak to one person, and that person is the next person seated beside you. You've been through hell. You've been through battles. You've been through many crises for the last 8 months of your life. But you never quit it. You never gave up. You never threw in the towel. You kept on believing that things will get better. Tell somebody, my condition will not have the last word. I'll be preaching here in a second. Slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, my situation will not be my definition. My condition will not cancel out my future. I will keep praising God. I will keep praising his holy name. I will keep coming to church. I will keep serving God. I will keep believing. I will keep showing up. And God will honor the fact that I refuse to quit. Because when you refuse to quit, that is when God will be impressed by you. Am I talking to somebody here? Lift your hands and prophesy, things will get better. Hey, I'll be preaching here. Take your seat. I'm still working it. The test shows that it always too soon to quit. Can I talk to somebody here? Tell somebody and prophesy, it's too soon to quit. Can I tell you a role of folks who make examples of success when they look like they should have quit? History records that during the first year in business, Coca-Cola only sold 400 Cokes. Am I talking to somebody? But today, Coca-Cola is one of the biggest companies in the world. Henry Ford went bankrupt twice in his first year in the automobile business. Yes, can I talk to somebody? Michelangelo spent 7 years on his back paying Sistine Chapel. Slap your neighbor and say, it's too soon to quit. Michael Jordan was called from his basketball team in high school. Can I talk to somebody? In 1905, the University of Berlin rejected the philosophical dissertation of Albert Einstein. John Bunyan wrote the Pilgrim's Progress whilst he was laid up in prison. Nelson Mandela was put in prison for 27 years, but he rose up to become the president of South Africa. Can I talk to somebody here? Joseph had to go through the pit. Joseph had to go through the prison before he got to the palace. Can I talk to somebody here? Moses had to go through the desert before he saw the land of the promise. Abraham had to wait 25 years before he got Isaac. David had to go through Goliath and go to the cave of Adullam before he became a king. Tell your neighbor, it's too soon to quit. I believe that Jesus is about to locate somebody who has been able to stand firm and tell the devil, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God neither faint or is weary, for there is no searching of his understanding. For yea, he giveth power to them that has lost mind. He increases the strength of them that has lost energy. He said, yea, the youth will utterly fall, and the young men shall be weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I prophesy over your life tonight. Stay alive. You getting me all excited? Please take your seat. I'm not there yet. Jesus. So sorry, Dr. Benny. Your people are getting me too excited. Jesus honored the fact that the brother kept on believing that things will get better. I don't know, somebody here, you've had a rough 8 months and 2 weeks, but if you can keep on believing that things are gonna fall in place, you may be at the backside of the desert, but I prophesy tomorrow by this time the tables will turn around. I feel something pushing me. Take your seat. Here is my other question, distinguished ladies and gentlemen. What about the ones who got overlooked? Are you here tonight? What about the folks who did not get healed that day? Are you here tonight? What do I do when the Lord makes me watch other folks get it? What do I do when it's as if my prayers have fallen on the deaf ears of God? What do I do when God becomes silent? What do I do when the more I pray, the more I serve, the more I give, the more my problems escalate? What do I do? I have to leave. Can I talk to somebody? Slap your neighbor and say, you have to leave. I have to leave still dealing with what I'm dealing with. You have to reach to the point, ladies and gentlemen, that you have to say to yourself that it just wasn't my turn yet, but I will learn to celebrate whoever's turn it was. Because if I can celebrate your turn, then my time will come. Watch this. We have been given several descriptions of conditions at the pool. I'll get you there. Take your seat. But we were never told which one the man had. I believe believe that he was a paralytic. I believe that he was paralyzed. And when you are paralyzed, you are stuck up in a situation where you can't go any further than where you are currently are. When you are paralyzed, ladies and gentlemen, you want to move. Not that you have resigned and resisted yourself from moving, but something is not functioning right on your inside. Am I talking to somebody? And it is manifesting the internal dysfunction on your external movements. Slap your name as a preach boy. There are a whole lot of folks in the church today who have been paralyzed by the devil. You want to get better, but you have been paralyzed. You want to grow, you want to look different, but you can't just seem to get it together. But tonight I came to tell somebody that Jesus will honor your endurance. Slap your name and say, Jesus, he will honor your endurance, because it takes real faith to walk in endurance. Ladies and gentlemen, endurance don't just mean that you are still going through, but endurance means you are going through pain acting like you are not. Am I talking to somebody? Endurance means folks can look at you and tell you how much you are struggling. There's somebody with a nice hair, with a somebody with a nice makeup, you look all good and glossy, you look all spinning, you look all fleshy, but you know the hell that you have been through the last 1 week. Am I talking to somebody here? Slap your neighbor and prophesy, help is on the way. Endurance means you look better than the hell that you are in. Endurance means I'm smiling, but I'm going through pain. Endurance means I don't look like my past. I don't look like the hell that I've been through. And I came to talk to a woman here who has been enduring. You have been through hell and back, and sometimes even how to get yourself together has been by the grace of God. I'm talking to a young man here who has been struggling. I'm talking to somebody who is dancing in church, smiling and glorifying the name of God, but you are going through hell and pain. But tonight I came all the way from Accra, Ghana, to announce unto somebody, tomorrow by this time the table will turn around. Lift your hands and shout, yeah! He goes further and he begins to handle the brother's lack of enlightenment. Jesus asks this man a question. I'll be preaching in a second. He said, do you want to be made whole? Can I preach here tonight? And the man now shows the effects of failure on his endurance, even though he's still enduring. He says, I want it. But he doesn't answer whether he wants to be better. He doesn't answer whether he wants to make changes. Instead, he said, I'm not better because people won't help me. And Jesus said, I'm not asking about people. I'm asking about you. And the question tonight is not what you are going through. It's not what is up against you. The question tonight is, it's not who is fighting you. It's not who is against you that has not allowed you to receive your miracle. Do you want to have a better life? Oh, Rock Hill, you are not here today. Forget everything that has happened to you. Forget everything that has not happened before today. I came as a prophet of God. I want to know, do you want the life that you have always dreamed about? Do you want to stand on your own 2 feet? Do you want to own that apartment? Do you want to buy your own house? Do you also want to marry again and showcase your ring? Do you want your credit to become better? Do you need that bad? Do you need that man? Do you need that miracle so bad? Slap your neighbor's name. Then you are in the right house at the right time, at the right season. Lift your hands and shout, yeah. Is there anyone here tonight? Can I preach to somebody? Is there anyone here tonight who can say to himself, forget all the excuses, I need a better life now? And the man says, I have no man. Jesus ignores the man, because Jesus says to the man, I am the very miracle manifestation that contradict that excuse. Can I talk to somebody? Slap your neighbor and say, Jesus is the very miracle consternation. Jesus is that miracle manifestation that contradicts that excuse. The man says, I could not get better because I don't have any man. And Jesus looked at the man and said, do you know my history? When my mother was impregnated by the Holy Ghost, by Angel Gabriel, he said to Angel Gabriel, how can this be, since I know not a man? So Jesus looks at this man and he says, I'm the very evidence that that excuse cannot stop you. So instead of dealing with your excuse, let me move on to your miracle. I came to announce unto somebody, whatever excuse you have tonight, Jesus has the remedy. Slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, tomorrow by this time, things will get better. I see a man here today. The Lord sent me to tell you, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid of? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come up against me to eat up my flesh, they shall stumble, they shall fall. Though an host shall come against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise up against me, in this will I be confident. For one thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, is to dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. For in times of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall my God hide me. And now shall my head be lifted above my enemies run about me. I came to prophesy over somebody here. Tomorrow by this time, whatever you could not do in the last 8 months, I see the hand of God is coming upon you. I see the power of God is coming upon you. Any door that the devil closed, I see God about to open that door. The same relationship that they said could not work, I see God open a mighty door. The same career that they said could never happen, I see a woman here. In the next 24 hours, God is about to turn things around. Can I prophesy? Slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, help is on the way. The other day, David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. He will watch it over Israel, will not sleep nor slumber. For the sun will not strike thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve your soul. He shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve your going out, and he shall preserve your coming in. I prophesy, tomorrow by this time, somebody, you are about to walk into your miracle. Tomorrow by this time, somebody, you are about to walk in your power. Tomorrow by right this time. Somebody get ready. The tables will turn around. Whatever you could not do, I see the Lord. He's about to lift you up. Whatever they said you could never marry in the next 7 months, get ready for a marital anointing. It's about to hit you. Lift your hands and shout, yeah. So Jesus said, you claim you have no man, but don't spend your life empowering your excuses. My mother had no man, but when the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, she became overshadowed with the power of God. You have no man, but you have me today. For 38 years, I prophesy tomorrow by this time, whatever you could not do for yourself, I see a door open for you. Lift your hands and shout, yes. Take your seat. So in life, there are no excuses. There are only choices. And Jesus is working on the brother's mind. The Bible says he is impotent. You find out that impotence has become an incubator of irresponsibility. As long as I can do for myself, I can hold other people responsible for why it didn't happen for me. I can hold other people responsible to help me get it. But if Jesus heals me, then I have to become responsible for myself. The question is, do you want what comes with being healed tonight? Have you gotten so used to irresponsibility that laziness has become your Lord? In this month of September 22nd, it is your season where you stop blaming people as the reason why you didn't get your life together. Accept the wholeness of Jesus and get your life together. And do you want to be made whole? And Jesus gives this man the miracle. And he does nothing but give excuses. I have a problem here as I drum home into my conclusion. I have a problem here. Because I thought, we all learn biblically and theologically that you need faith at least. Connected to faith or somehow to get the miracle. Because if you have faith, God has got the power. But there is a contradiction here, because this man, when I read the text, I found out that even when you don't have the faith, God still have got the power. Every now and then he blesses you. When you don't have the faith, at the moment of your lowest end, God always comes through for you. So Jesus said, watch this. Jesus said, rise. Look at somebody and shout, rise. All he said was rise. And he does not reach out to help him. All he said was rise. Then it hit me. The brother's problem was not his paralysis. It hit me. His problem was assistance addiction. This is not just a miracle about his legs, but a miracle about his mind and outlook. He's got an assistance addiction. He's addicted to assistance. To get to the pool, he needed assistance. To get into the pool, he needed assistance. To get back home, he needed assistance. To do everything in his life, he needed assistance. And he's gotten addicted to having other folks do stuff for him. So when Jesus said, rise, he said, you can get up all by yourself. Nobody is going to run and help you, and nobody is going to give you a helping hand. Jesus said, what you have been looking for other people to do for you, you can do it all by yourself. Look at somebody here tonight and holler, rise. You are not here to not slap your neighbor like you're gonna shake his hands off and shout, rise. You can get up on your own. You don't need anybody to pity you anymore. You can get up and do it all by yourself. Nobody scares the devil like the person who always gets up, because the last time somebody got up on him, he suffered the greatest defeat in his life. Slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, rise. The Lord wants to show you that you have the power within yourself to do what you have been waiting for others to do for you. Slap your neighbor and say, arise and shine, for your light has come. You have the power to marry. You have the power to make changes. Stop depending on people who may not be there for you always. The folks who assisted him, this is what they did. Pick him up and pull him down. Pick him up and pull him down. But if you trust in him, he won't put you down. I prophesy over your life that we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. If God be for you, who can be against you? When God says yes, no man can say no. When God says no, no man can say yes. When God opens a door, no man can shut. When God shut a door, no man can open. If he did it yesterday, he's the same today. He's the same forever. I prophesy, God is on your side. Favor is on your side. Power is on your side. Victory is on your side. Slap your neighbor and say, get up. It's over. You can do it on your own. Get up. It's over. The pain is over. Get up. The marital trauma is over. Get up. The sickness is over. Get up. That curse is over. Rise. Why do the hit and rage and the people imagine a venting? For the kings of this earth, the rulers, have set themselves against the Lord, against its righteous, saying, let us break the abandoned asunder and cast away the accord from us. But he that sitteth in the heavens, he shall laugh and destroy all your enemies. I prophesy, in the next 8 days, you will laugh again, you will smile again, you will rejoice again, you will have your power. Rise, rise. Slap your neighbor, son. I'm coming out. I'm coming out from every pain. I'm coming out from every struggle. I'm coming out because he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his wings, and under his feathers you shall trust. For his truth shall be your shield and your buckler, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flood by day, nor the pestilence that walketh at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000, they shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall behold and see the end of the wicked. Somebody rise. Somebody walk in your power. Somebody walk in your victory. Somebody walk in your anointing. Rise. Get your life together. You can also marry. You can also buy your house. You can also be healed. Rise. Slap your neighbor. Shall rise, rise, rise. So Jesus said, I close with this. Stop depending on people. Dr. Bailey says, stop depending on people who may not be there for you at all times. You've been in this problem for 38 years because you have been depending on man. So Jesus looks at the man and says, no man can disappoint man like man. Slap him as a neighbor. No man can disappoint man like man. You can do it all by yourself. Dr. Bailey, can I have one more minute? Haven't you lived long enough to know that people will come and they will go? People will leave you at the slightest offense. They will pick you up and drop you like a sweet potato. Haven't you lived long enough to know that they will smile with you at your face, but curse you in your absence? Rise up, take up your bed and go home, which means that the bed used to have me, but now I have the bed. Can I prophesy? Tomorrow by this time, God will turn your problems into project. Am I talking to somebody? Tomorrow by this time, God will turn your insult into result. Tomorrow by this time, God will override you from zero to hero. Slap your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you are not a chicken, but you are a champion. You are not a curse, but you are blessed. Walk on the devil. Punch the devil on the face. Tell the devil, we are more than a conqueror. Tell the devil, I will not die in this problem. Tell the devil, I'm not giving up now. Tell the devil, I'm too needed to be wasted. Tell the devil, I'm too anointed to be destroyed. Tell the devil, the fact that I failed yesterday does not mean I will stay where I am, for this is not my last place, it is my last stop. Am I talking to somebody? Slap your neighbor. Say, neighbor, yeah. Take up your bed. Conquer the fear. Conquer the opposition. Walk out on the devil. Tell the devil, rejoice not over me, oh my enemies. For when I fall, I shall rise up again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Somebody here, you are about to walk into your power. Somebody here, you are about to walk into your grace. Somebody here, you are about to walk into your victory. In the next 24 hours, the same people who saw your tears, they will see your elevation. For weeping, weeping, weeping may just endure for a night, but Jah is coming. Slap your neighbor. Say, neighbor, things will get better. Can I preach here for 20 more seconds? Slap your neighbor. Say your marriage is gonna get better. Your finance is gonna get better. Your business is gonna get better. Your relationship is gonna get better. Your life is gonna get better. Better! Better! Ah! Say yeah, say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. Lift your hand. And he got up. He got up. He got up. I close with this. He got up. Everyone who saw him being down, witness his rising. He got up. I leave you with this. In the next 24 hours, those that saw your falling, I came to tell them, falling is not failing. They will see your elevation. If you shout here tonight, I see God lifting you. I see God opening a door for you. Say yeah! Say yeah! Say yeah! He got up. He got up. He got up. And I declare you will get up. If I can get one crazy believer in Rock Hill to give the Lord a shout of praise. You are getting up. You are getting up. You are getting up. Oh, you are getting up. You are getting up. Your finance is getting up. Your business is getting up. Your life is getting up. You are getting up.